Welcome to the Word of the Kingdom. From the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries, Pastor Banky teaches the sanctifying truth of God's Word.
That is opposed to strong. He said, receive the one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. He said, the one who is weak thinks all he might eat is vegetables. He said, let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge the fellow who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. He said, one person esteems one day above another, and that esteems every day the same. Let each, another word, I've talked about weak. The another word we should point there is judge. The another expression is let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Because later on you see how it defines the word sin. That if a man does something and is not doing it out of full persuasion, then the person will find out that he's walking in sin and he will be subject to the accusations of the devil. Verse 6 says, he who observes the day observes it to the Lord. That is, he's trying to please God in his observation of the day. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. That is, it's in pleasing the Lord, his attempt to please God, that he's refusing to observe some days. He who eats, eats to the Lord in the same manner, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. That everything we are doing is in trying to please the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. That's why do you judge? God has said, every tongue will confess to me. In verse 12, he said, another emphasis. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Now, please, let me just explain this, verses 1 to 13. It's just one thing he's saying, all right? And the same thing continues, actually, when you get into verse 14. We'll read it again when we get there. Now, what's the point here? If you don't get this background, it might be difficult for you to understand the reason why Paul talked like this. And we said at the beginning, this is a church that was composed of Jews and Gentiles. Are you getting me? There is a church that was composed of Jews and Gentiles. And Jews had strict laws concerning, you know the way it is, Sabbath, Passover, Feast of Tabernacles, Pentecost, stuff like that. They had strict laws concerning those days. They were high Sabbaths. They were normal every seventh day Sabbath. All these things put together control the life of the Jew. It's just like a Christian in our society that has been brought up to go to church on Sundays. There are people who think they can't imagine it, that on Sunday you are not in church and you call yourself a Christian. It's very interesting, you know, that we drop a set of religious practices and we cling to another one very tightly. You say, no, you must be in church on Sunday. You say, okay, if that's the case, why is it not Sabbath day? They will start arguing over why the rest of the day moved from Saturday and moved to Sunday. The reality is that he moved not because of a new set of laws, but because of convenience. When the church was growing, it was growing mostly in non-Jewish settings. And for them, that was the first day of the week, maybe. And that was just a convenient meeting day. Do you get the point I'm making? It has nothing to do with the commandment of the Lord that on the first day of the week you must gather. People have not tried to say that Paul said that when you gather, when he was writing, in the first day of the week, on the Lord's day. See, the point is that that is the day they gather. He wasn't commanding them to gather on that day. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. He understood that that's the day they gather. So he was writing to them that the day you gather, you will do this and do this and do that. He wasn't commanding them that day you must gather. The point I'm making here is this. This was a church made up of Jews and Gentiles. And the Jews had been brought up with those laws and they were formed in him. Since he was a child, he was a part of his system. Now, you now bring the service to the same God. Now, listen to this. It's different from the Gentiles. The Gentiles were serving one sun, moon, one idol, one, you know. So when they converted fully. It was service to a new God. Now, do you understand? But the Jew wasn't like that. It's the same God that they were serving before, but they are now serving him in the words of Paul after a new order. Do you understand my point? It's the same God, and they are now serving him after a new order. So a lot of them still cling to the old practices. Now, they don't eat certain meats. When you get there, they say, this is bacon. Wow, bacon, real bacon, made out of pig meat. No, they wouldn't eat. So if you want to do a love feast, you have to separate. And of course, the natural thing is that there are people who feel like, I emphasize one word there, when he said weak. Because as a matter of fact, Paul was not saying, because he must read things in context, Paul was not saying that it's the same thing whether you eat or you don't eat. He's saying that the man who understands something, he can do it with persuasion. But the man who has not yet understood is currently weak. Therefore, the emphasis is to those who think they know to give time to the other people to develop. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. That's why I said the one who is weak in faith is the one that still regards one day as better than another. And he says, I can't eat this. All right? Are you getting my point? Paul said it categorically, is the man who's weak in faith. But he said, while he's weak in faith, we'll find out as we continue to read it. Whatever he does, he must do as he's persuaded, we read earlier. Each person must do as he's convinced of. You get the point I'm making? Because one of the things that lead people to problems is that they are not persuaded. They just do something because somebody else is doing it. You know, I said something, I think it was in church on Sunday when I was preaching. And I explained that very carefully when you are copying people. You don't know the reason why somebody is doing what he's saying. He might spiritualize it. The fact is that, I mean, he may just be a man who loves to sleep. And therefore, he sleeps all the time. So you say, why don't you wake up to study? Say, why do I have to wake up at night to study? Why do I have to wake up at night to pray? God answers me also during the day. Now, you know what I'm saying, but it's not a lie. As a matter of fact, this guy is not lying. The God of the day is the God of the night. Except that you know as a matter of fact that this guy doesn't have time during the day. And that Jesus, because of that principle, it's not because God was closer at night, but because during the day he's very busy and he's ministering. Therefore, he will wake up at night, all right, to pray. All right? That was the time he had alone. He will go outside alone. Now, somebody now decides to, look, I'm not going to do that. That's because of his own personal issues. Do you follow my point? And maybe he actually has time during the day. So he sleeps plenty at night, and during the day he does things. But what I'm trying to bring out is that each person is doing it as he's persuaded. Now, some people don't know what is going on. Just this idea, this man does it, and the person gets up and starts doing what the person is doing. And sometimes they start infringing, or let me put it like, they start breaking the laws of their own conscience, trying to just copy somebody else. And that's why Paul emphasized that each person must do as he's fully persuaded. But the lesson here, which was trying to teach us, was to, now please notice this, the lesson was actually, or the injunction was to the people who are strong and who have a tendency to look down other people who don't know the things that they do. I remember, those days when we were in university, around the time when I was on campus was when, before then, you couldn't dare enter a church without your head thoroughly covered as a woman. And if it's not covered, as you're about to enter, just borrow a face towel and drop it on top of your head. I mean, you couldn't enter the presence of the Lord without that. And then the teaching began to come. Now, let's get this clear. There is what is true. Truth is not relative. Do you follow my point? It's just that when we have not yet apprehended the real truth, Paul is just giving us time to develop and encouraging those who have already apprehended it to allow the other people time to develop. He's not saying that there is no difference. That the man who says that the day is holy and the man who says that another day is that the days are not holy, that is the same thing. No. He never said that. He said it clearly, that one who holds one day superior to the other is still weak in faith. He's just saying that while he's weak in faith, God is all right with him. Do you understand my point? God is not complaining. So what's your own problem? No, I remember, just to tell this story to explain that issue of development. Mel Terry, in his book, The Gentle Breeze of Jesus, told the story of how one young girl, a young sister, prayed for a dead person, and the person woke up and began to live again. Do you understand my point? The person woke up and began to live. And of course, pride set in, it was a very young girl, and not just Americans, they were out to make everything into a show. They came and were saying that, we'll take this girl to America, go and show her, this girl has raised the dead, this girl has raised the dead. So the girl was very happy. From Indonesia, you know, I'm going to America, I've been everybody. I took a big heavy head. Next week I'm going to America. Wow, you know I listen to dead people. So she go around bragging, all right? No, me, I've raised the dead now. I should be careful. You. Have you raised the dead? No, that kind of thing. So my father, being a student near brother, was very angry in the church. He was very angry. So one day he went to pray. And he began to pray, telling the Lord, can you see how proud and arrogant this small girl is? Why do you keep using her? After all, we all know it's not her power. It's just a manifestation of the Spirit. And she's going around like, what is it, God, please? All I'm just asking is that you have to stop using this girl. So that this embarrassment will stop. Just go around showing up because God works a miracle through your hand. He said, look at that other lady. Point to another lady that's in his prayer. And very nice and gentle and meek. God, why don't you just use that one instead of this small girl that's just so arrogant? So he finished praying and he laid on his bed. God allowed him to finish venting all his anger. Then the Holy Spirit now started. He now showed him a vision. And in that vision, he was playing in his mind. And where there was a little boy walking around with the father. And they had this orchard full of apples. And they were walking down rows of trees. And the father was so proud of the trees. And at the end, he told the boy, what do you think? They had little, you know, apples were just like mango just coming out now. Like apples, little ones. And they were all green, small and green. So at the end, the boy looked and said, Daddy, I think these trees are all useless. He said, what do you mean? Look at all these fruit on them, very small and green. The red apples are supposed to be big and fat and, you know, get red, you know, different colors. And why are these ones all just small and green? Daddy, you know what I think? I think we should cut all of them down. You are getting the point? Of course, the boy's father now turned to him and said, no, I just have the boy. The boy doesn't understand. There's a matter of time. They have just started developing. They will grow, they will increase. So suddenly the guy got the picture. He was a little boy observing the young lady who the fruit of the Spirit in her life was still small. And for that reason, he was so angry that God, let's cut everything down. Then God said, look, that girl is a very, very good girl. She's just that she's still young. She's still growing. She's still learning. The fruit of the Spirit, they are still not fully developed in her life. So just give her time. There's no need to cut everything down. When he has finished praying, vision is passing through his mind. He only got up and crawled under the bed. He felt so low that he's, oh my God. I mean, that was really like a senior fellow. I'm the one that really does not understand anything. He said he felt so unworthy that he left his bed and went under it and laid on the floor under the bed. And that is exactly what Paul was trying to explain. That people should allow other people to develop. So I was saying that those days when we were on campus, of course, then that was when it was happening. People would come to fellowship. So you have two groups of people on campus. Those who allowed their fellowship of people to go to church without their head covered, and those who insisted. And then we were going to hold a kind of regional conference of our fellowship. And people were coming from different places. And I remember the very first time that one happened. One brother, one of the people came earlier, one of the leaders. He reminded all of us that tomorrow we're going to be the friends of the Lord. And all the ladies should come and cover their head. Now, when I was the friend of the fellowship years later, we were going to host that kind of meeting again. And me not wanting wahala, I simply told people, for the next 3 days, we are going to be hosting brethren from everywhere. In our fellowship, we didn't care. If you like, cover your head. If you like, scrape it. Nobody bothered. I remember I was president. I simply announced, please, all the sisters, go and buy one small handkerchief. Because for the next 3 days, your hair will be covered when you are coming to fellowship. And I made it a simple rule. Of course, some people talked and talked. Why? You know, there are brethren who are contentious by nature. They love contention. You know, they want to argue with you. They want to, I explained something that, look, we have 3 days of fellowship. Why do we convert the 3 days to discussion on whose head is covered and whose head is not covered? Why don't you just oblige? Now, we can't pursue them in 3 days. In fact, you come and say, it doesn't matter. That's besides the point. We have, our meeting is supposed to be about prayer and teaching. Leave that, this whose head is covered and who's not. Let's leave it behind. By simply obliging them, we have not lost anything. I remember some people, one brother, big brother at that time, who liked contention. When he heard, he was very angry that I should have used the opportunity to make a point on whether head is covered or not. I ran nonsense. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? And that's what Paul was trying to say. If the man wants to cover his head, well, he's doing it trying to please the Lord. Why am I supposed to stand there and start explaining to him at that particular point in time that it didn't matter? You get my point? Now, I said something earlier. There are things that are true. Do you get my point? There are things that are true. There's an issue. Actually, I was writing a book. Because the controversial nature, I didn't want to put the matter into the book. But at the end, I put it at the back of the book for the simple reason that certain things are true. Now, we may be able to accept that not everybody has understood that they are true, but as a matter of fact, they are true. I wanted to put the issue at the back of the book so that anybody who wanted to learn, okay, will. But then, by the time you get to that point of the book, you'll have learned all the other truths that are not in controversy at all. They are at the back of the chapter. If you want to get it, and the way I did it was to simply state my point one by one. I wasn't going to put it there until one of my friends said that, and I wrote in that book, he said, if it is the truth, we have to talk about it one day. We can't continue sitting in ignorance, all right? Allowing things that are wrong to continue to grow because we don't want trouble. Do you follow my point? But for temporary measures like in a season like that one I was telling you about a few days, I mean, we leave the matter. The people are coming and they are good. It's not our, we have not gathered to talk about how God answers prayers that penetrate through the scarf and the one that does not penetrate through the scarf. Listen, that's exactly what Paul was saying. Are you getting my point? Now, let me just say something earlier before I get down to verse 14. The summary of everything is that all these people are doing these things unto their Lord, and it's not your responsibility to try and now judge the person. You know, you don't know. He said, but what should be your primary assignment is that you don't put a stumbling block, all right, in front of a brother, and that you are always trying to edify one another, help each other to grow. And I said in verse 14, I know and I am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean in itself. Now, we are applying this principle, for example, to this hair covering and hair not covering thing. But here he was addressing specifically the Jewish customs concerning food and concerning the days of the week and the seasons of the year. That different days have different significance, the Jews believed. That certain foods were clean and some were unclean. Those are the two things he specifically mentioned. But I just want to understand the principle behind it. Is that okay? Now, so he said, I am persuaded that nothing is unclean by itself. He said, yet, in verse 15, if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. He said, do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Now, please get the point here. He was speaking specifically about Judaism, the practices of Judaism, of under the law. And for them, certain issues are very, very serious. Do you get my point? For them, some things were crucial. Okay? And it was saying that you would destroy fellowship. You can make a Jew who's still a baby, all right, who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, he walks into your fellowship, and the first thing you want to show him that every illegal thing is permitted. Now, in his mind, they are illegal, spiritually speaking. That's what it means, that you find out at the end of the day, you destroy the person. That's why I said that. You see, as Christians, Paul will tell you that I became everything to every man. He wasn't saying that if the man is a sinner, I became a sinner. No, that most certainly, that is, you have to read things in context. All right? What he was just explaining is that if I have to go to places, okay, where, like now, as a preacher, look, I'll tell you as a matter of fact, all right? One day I went to go and preach in one church. So as I arrived, it was weekend, I wore native, and I always have this chain on my neck. I never remove it. Even when I wear a tie, it's under. Because I never remove it. Unless maybe I want to shave or something. It's always there. You know? I like it. I think it looks good. After I drove in, I didn't know the kind of people they were. And I saw two sisters pass. I ran back into my car, ducked under the steering, and removed the name and dropped on the floor. I'm telling the truth. You know, I had never been there before. The person who invited me is a man. You know, men are the same. Wherever they go, they are the same. They can't wear more than a suit, really. You know, and not every man wears any piece of, you know, ornament. You know, so that really doesn't say much. In fact, I never used, if you saw me a few years ago, before I got married, I didn't used to wear, because if it's not real good, precious metal, gold, I react to it. I'm one of those people that if you put all these, any kind of metal on my skin, I react, okay? So I stopped long ago. Until I felt I had, and I used to think gold was so expensive, you know. So I just kept up. I'm one person that respects seasons in life. Do you know what I want? No, I just kept up. I didn't want no trouble. First gold material I wore was my wedding ring. And I didn't react to it. It was after a while, as I stealing from my wife and stuff like that. And then you know, one day eventually I bought my own. Now, so that day I got to that church. All right. The man who invited me is just a person, you know, a man, so I didn't know. And when I saw the women coming, Oh boy, I retreated to my car. I reached upstairs where I was supposed to preach. When I looked around, oh boy, I just gently, you know, this, I suddenly I shifted my shirt like this and I started meditating. You know what I'm saying? Then I got up and see the Lord said, go outside, my son. Go outside, my son. I went up very soberly, rushed into my car, pushed my head under the steering, quickly removed it, threw off the floor. And I went back upstairs. You can see this ring was on my hand. I pulled it. Any ring there must be my wedding ring. That one most people can accept. No, what is the point? You know, some people, as soon as you come up with the hot word you have in your mouth, they're not hearing you again. They're looking at your neck. They want to cast out the spirit of worldliness out of you. Whatever you say is worldly. They don't want to hear. And that way, you will have come with a great blessing for people. You are going to give people direction in life. You are going to heal their sick. You are going to do things by the power of God. But you yourself, you have hindered them from listening to you. Do you get the point I'm making? Uh-huh. You know, this one where we go from one place to the other. My wife doesn't follow me around ministry yet because of children, actually. That's the major reason, all right? But once you start, no matter how fine your trousers suit is, if we haven't gone there before, not where I'm following you, you wear very nice skirts. Very, I know it's true. No matter how, don't just go and follow me. There are things that even people understand that there are slight differences, okay? But if you go with two rings on your right hand, two on your left hand, I don't agree. Ah, baby, I beg. Put that one. Uh-huh. Put that one. So well, I don't know where we're going. I know, really. You know, the people who don't mind, they don't mind anyway. But those who mind, I give them offense. It's not your choice. You're just supposed to just go and teach there and go away. There's one funny lady ahead of us. She used to buy Kenny Hagin materials. After getting the magazine, she cut out all the pictures of them, Oretta Hagin, you know, Kenny Hagin Jr.'s wife, cut out all the photos. He said, why? I said, because they have makeup. No, if you go jack the word inside, you read it to and digest it. So when you see all of this magazine, all the pictures are cut out. What is going on here? Say the women all have makeup. Now, I said something that there are things that are true. If it is not true, it is not true. And we're not going to, for all our life, abide by that. But then for seasons, why everybody is supposed to grow? Because there's something that Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4. He said, till we all come, there's a time we'll come to the knowledge. Until that time, we allow people, alright? There are little idiosyncrasies. There are those who won't leave church if you don't share grace. Because all their life, church has always ended with grace. So share grace for them now. Because they won't go away if you don't share that grace. So what do? You share grace for them. And everybody's happy. That's exactly what Paul was talking about here. Alright. So he emphasized that, therefore do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Alright? You understand that now from what we are saying. He said, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, for he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. That is not the things that you are doing. When you talk about serving Christ, essentially what he's saying, the summary of serving Christ is trying to be a blessing to somebody else. The way you serve Christ is by serving the body that represents Christ on the earth. The summary is in verse 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. And do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Alright. Verse 21 says, it is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Now I told you a story some time ago that D.L. Moody went to see C.H. Spurgeon. And as he knocked on the door, D.L. Moody, you heard of D.L. Moody, great man of God. C.H. Spurgeon, heard of him. As far as D.L. Moody was concerned, a greater man of God. That is, he was before him, senior fellow in the ministry. So all his life, he had dreamt of meeting C.H. Spurgeon. He got to Charles Spurgeon's door. Charles Spurgeon, he knocked. Charles Spurgeon opened the door, and there was a pipe in his mouth. Spurgeon used to smoke. D.L. Moody almost fell down. Because he had been reading, and when you are reading and hearing, you don't see smoke on the paper. The anointing does not carry cigarettes or pipe smoke. He said, how can you, a man of God, smoke? Meanwhile, when he approached, C.H. Spurgeon was shocked that a man of God could be fat. after they look at each other with amazement. He said, how can you, a man of God, smoke? He said, the same reason why you, a man of God, can be fat. To say Spurgeon, fat means you are undisciplined, you are indisciplined, you don't fast, you don't pray, you don't know God. He's a British man. He was. Then, for Todia Moody, you smoke, you're the devil. It's true. If until now, even you, if you see a man quench his cigarette before a man's in pulpit, you walk out. And I'm telling you, so let's now welcome Reverend. I was about to call him the guy in ashtray. Waiting. I always knew that they are not serious brethren there. They are already burning in hell before they die. You start preaching a new message. Once I heard a man preaching, he said, the Bible has said it. That, this was in Yoruba. Oripipa, that is baldness of head, is what follows the burning of the hair. Now, that's simple English. If I burn your head becomes bald. That also. Except that in Yoruba language, to burn your hair is called burning of hair. If you want to go and do your hair, they say you want to go and burn your hair. You know the reason? Because those days they started with stretching combs. You know stretching combs? Remember stretching combs? Or you're too young for stretching combs? Stretching combs, then it was hot, put it inside there, put grease on it, and yum, and then the hair comes out straight. So that's where the origin of the expression in Yoruba language for the perming of the hair. So the man was trying to preach here, all these brethren, the Bible has said, baldness is what ends perming of hair. Meanwhile, that was not what the Bible was saying. God was just saying that when I finish all of you, I will burn all your heads. Alright, please, I hope you're getting what I'm making now. So it says in verse 22, do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, not from understanding, not from persuasion. That's what he was saying. For whatever is not from faith, to that person, it is what? Sin. It's not a thing in itself. It is the fact that somebody is doing it, not out of persuasion. So for him, it's probably an issue of disobedience, conscious disobedience, that he's getting involved in. Now let's continue. I was hoping that we'll finish the whole of the book of Romans. I want to go into 1 Corinthians with excitement. As some rich truths in the book of 1 Corinthians from next Monday. He said, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. This is the same thing we are saying. So let's run through it. Let each one of us please his neighbor for his own good, leading to edification and all of that. And also, quoted Christ Jesus. I just want to continue. And then, if you read through it, it's the same principle he was still describing up to verse 13. All right. Now, from verse 14, he said, now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren. Please don't forget everything I said. That this, if you bear in mind that there were disputes in the church, it was a church of Gentiles and Jews, and that was why Paul was writing all these words of edification so that they can live together in peace and in one accord. You know, the problem we have is that this day we don't do that. What we did was to create different denominations everywhere. Now let me just say this, if it interests some of us. Some of us have talked about denominations as if it's a sin. Denominations, hear me clearly, is, you know, God is good. Amen. To prevent too much quarreling over this and that, that's why God allowed us to go to different denominations. Do you get my point? Please, don't be angry. You know, there are people who preach that denominations is not the will of God. Well, I don't know about that. What I know is not the will of God is discrimination. It's not denominations. Do you follow my point? If on Sunday you follow Deeper Life, may I go to House on the Rock? You go to Anglican place, everybody goes different ways. Really, that's not a problem. The problem is when I mount my pulpit in Deeper Life and tell my people that everybody out there is going to hell. And that's the problem. That one is the problem. Do you get my point? The fact that we go to different churches, listen to me, we cannot cope with going to the same church. And if I say this, it might sound funny. But the work of God will even be less effectual, because each denomination tends to have his own focus at its particular point in time.